Haven't the kids been brilliant this morning? Did you know there was one on the drums as well? Did you spot that? Aren't we blessed as a church to have so many talented youngsters? I think I can give up doing the notices from now on. And a little bit of work, I think the puppets can even do the sermons. So, yeah, we'll see you later. You've got me now for the next little bit, I'm afraid. But hopefully we'll keep it a bit light and a bit fun this morning. We've been thinking over the last few weeks about what we can learn from a man named Nehemiah. And as you've heard this morning, Nehemiah lived a long time ago, and he was a servant to a powerful king who ruled a large empire. Nehemiah has a book in the Bible named after him, which tells his story. But actually, don't tell the adults, but I think the puppets and the drama people told it much better. We've been looking at how Nehemiah lived his life, how he acted in different situations, and what we can learn to help us to know how to live our lives today. This morning we've heard the puppets tell us the story of Nehemiah, how he went to the king, how he travelled to Jerusalem, how he rebuilt the walls with the help of the people, and how he overcame opposition from the officials of nearby towns. So we learn a lot about Nehemiah from this story. But we also learn a lot about God in the way that he helps Nehemiah and the way that Nehemiah turns to him for help. And this morning I want to briefly explore two characteristics of God. That is, two things about who God is to help us understand how he wants to be a part of our lives. The first thing that we learn about God from the story of Nehemiah is that he is reliable. Or another way of saying that is that he is trustworthy. We can count on God. Nehemiah and the people of Israel have learned over the years that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. After the walls of the city have been rebuilt, the people of Israel say sorry to God for the way that they had ignored him and left him out of their lives, despite their promise to love him. The people say a special prayer to God to say that they're sorry. Let me read a little bit of that prayer to you. There are some long words in this and some funny names, but listen carefully for the last sentence. You, Lord God, chose Abraham and led him out of Ur in Babylonia. You changed his name to Abraham. You found that he was faithful to you. And you made a covenant, that is a promise, with him. You promised to give him the land of the Canaanites, the land of the Hittites and the Amorites, the land of the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, to be a land where his descendants would live. You kept your promise because you are faithful. That's Nehemiah chapter 9, if you want to look at that prayer. The people knew that God had promised things to Abraham, had promised things to their ancestor. And they knew that God would be trustworthy and he would keep his promise. God had done what he had said he would do. It was the people that had ignored God. There are times, I think, when we make promises that we really mean when we make them, but we just can't always keep them. We agree to things or we say we'll do things, and at the end, we just can't do it. Now, Cameron, not here today. If the weather's still dry, he may be playing cricket. Cameron, my youngest, loves from time to time to have what he calls bloke's night. All his older brothers and sisters have what are loosely called sleepovers with their friends. And every now and again, Cameron likes a bloke's night. He likes to bring the duvets and the pillows downstairs. He likes me to do the same. And if he can persuade his older brother, him to do it as well. We stick some movies on, have some drinks, have some popcorn, watch movies, and eventually fall asleep. That's a perfect night for Cameron. Now, I don't mind doing it. It's quite nice. It's quite fun. But I'm getting a little bit older. And the fault of sleeping on a sofa when there is a perfectly good bed waiting for me upstairs is getting harder to reconcile in my head. It's not always that appealing. And you know, Cameron asked me just the other week if he could have one of these blokes' nights. And it was going to be the Sunday before the Tour de France came to Chelmsford because he didn't have school the next day. And in a moment of weakness early on in the week, I said, yeah, we can do that, Cameron, that's fine. We'll have a sleepover. Not really thinking that I had work on the Monday. And not also taking into account the fact that I was going to be playing cricket on the Saturday. I played cricket on the Saturday for the first time this season. I'm not as fit as I used to be. I'm not fit at all, actually, let's be honest. I was a little bit sore Saturday evening after cricket. By Sunday evening, I could barely walk. But Cameron had asked me and I had promised. What was I going to do? If I changed my mind, I would be breaking a promise to Cameron and he would be upset because he was so looking forward to it. But I wasn't sure that my body could take the pain of a night on the sofa. Do I let him down or do I suffer myself just to please him? Well, you'll be pleased to know I slept downstairs on the sofa and I had to turn the TV off because I had all fallen asleep. But I did it. But to my shame, there have been times when I've promised things to Cameron and promised bloke nights to Cameron and then I've changed my mind. But we learn from Nehemiah that if God makes a promise to us, then he keeps it. If God has said he will do something for us, then he does it. God is totally reliable and trustworthy. Even if the promise will hurt him. Even if the promise is costly to him. If he makes a promise, God keeps it. And when we read or hear about the promises that God makes, we know that we can trust them to be kept. God is not like us. God doesn't break a promise. Another characteristic, another thing about God that we learn from the story of Nehemiah is that God is powerful. If you read the story of Nehemiah, you will see that time and time again, when things get tough for Nehemiah, he turns to God. He prays to God for help and for guidance. And God doesn't fail him. Even when people gang up against him, he knows that God is more powerful than they are. He does not need to be afraid, and nor do the people of Israel. But how do we know that God is powerful? How do we know that he can keep us safe when life hurts? Well, we can look back at the things he has done and see for ourselves. If we look back at our lives, we can see the things that God has done for us. We can see the times that God has used his power to help us and to protect us. And that's exactly what the people of Israel did. They remembered all the things that God had done and knew that he was more powerful than anything or anyone else. And we hear this again in the special prayer that the people said. Nehemiah 6, it says this, "And the people of Israel prayed this prayer. You, Lord, you alone are Lord. You made the heavens and the stars of the sky. You made land and sea and everything in them. You gave life to all. The heavenly powers bow down and worship you." They believed in, they followed, they trusted in a God who was so powerful that he created the whole world. They believed in a God that was so powerful that even the angels worshipped him. They followed a God who was so powerful because he had been involved in their history. Remember the story of Daniel that Antonia read to us earlier this morning. God gave him the power to understand the dreams of the king. He's a powerful God. And they trusted in a God so powerful because he had kept them safe as they rebuilt the walls of their city. The God who was powerful and trustworthy for the people of Israel is the same God who is powerful and trustworthy for us too. How many of you like superheroes? Who's your favourite superhero? Shout it out. Batman. She-Hulk. That's a new one on me. Batman. Another Batman. Superhero. You want to be a superhero? Who's your favourite, Aaron? Superheroes. Okay. Yeah. Transformers. Okay. Spider-Man. Flash. Flash Gordon. Wow.
Iron Man.
Yeah. Captain America. Hulk. I'm looking at the adults, they're looking a bit bemused. Oh, yeah, sorry. Wolverine. Wow. And, oh, go on.
Supergirl.
Supergirl. I think Claire will have a word afterwards. Shout it out. Shout. Batman. Was that? Spider-Man. Okay, one more. Max Steel. Wow. No more because I'll be here all day and I'll get told off. Loads and loads of special superheroes. Yeah? My favourite, none of you have said. My favourite was Superman. Well, you said Supergirl. Oh, right, okay. Superman was my favourite superhero. And when I was young, I used to love Superman. I wished I had his superpowers. The ability to fly. The superhuman strength. The laser-burning eyes. Do you remember those movies, older peoples? Yeah? Young ones, they wouldn't know. It's the Man of Steel now, isn't it, or something. But when I was young, it was Superman, Clark Kent. He was awesome. But he looked just like a normal person. But he was 100 times better. I love Superman. But Superman, like many of the superheroes that you've called out this morning, have limitations. There are things that these superheroes cannot do. They have weaknesses. They have flaws, things that work against them and can give the bad guys the advantage, even if only for a while. But God is not like that. God does not have any weaknesses. He does not have any flaws. And he is the most powerful superhero that you can ever imagine. The story of Nehemiah is a great story of courage, of faith, of trust, and of obedience to God. It is also a great story that teaches us of God's power and of God's reliability. We can trust in God because he will not break his promise, no matter what we do, because he loves us. We can trust in God because he will look after us and protect us. He is more powerful than even the greatest of superheroes. The story of Nehemiah teaches us about an amazing God who loves us and wants us to love him. It teaches us about a God who is all-powerful and totally trustworthy. It teaches us about a God who wants to give us the very best. So let me encourage you, young and old alike, to be like Nehemiah and the people of Israel and put your trust in him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the story of Nehemiah, for his amazing faith in you, and that through him you were able to do so much for the people of Israel. Father, we thank you that we can trust you and you will not let us down, that we can believe in the promises that you've made and we know that you won't break them. We thank you too that you love us and you care for us, and that you will use your power to help us and support us and take care of us. Father God, we thank you for all that you are. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.